This is Joy News Today with me, Emefa Akosua Adeti. We're coming to you live from our studios here in Kokumlimli. Also, live on DSTV channel 421, GoTV channel 125. In our headlines today, government contracts eminent chiefs led by the Asantehene Otunfo Osei-Tutu to broker peace between feuding factions in the Boko conflict as it pegged the original death toll at 16. Brace yourself for a 15% increase in transport fares from November 1st. This is according to the Concerned Drivers Association. We have details in this bulletin. We're back on the campaign trail as NDC flag bearer John Mahama poses five questions to NPP's Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, who's touring major markets in the Greater Accra region.
Ghana's debt risen from 120 billion to 767 billion in 8 years. Question two, you should come and answer.
We're independent, fearless, and credible. The Concerned Drivers Association says it will, from November 1st, increase its transport fares by some 15%. The group says this increase is necessary because of current economic hardships. PRO of the group, David Agbado, spoke earlier on News Desk.
The cost of servicing vehicles or the cost of running transport now is very, very high. And that is the formula in which we always increase transport fares with. All the things over there are very positive. When you go to lubricant, it's 110%. We go to spare parts, it's over 200+%. You go to the stationary and printing, it's 30%. You go to the cost of a car, it's over 1,000%. And even fuel, the lowest among it is fuel, is 8%. So if you put all these things together, and if you want to go by the percentage, so I've been charging 25%, where we have thought this right, that things are not normal, and we are in the election year too. We don't want to jeopardize the situation. That's why we are coming out with 15%, starting from on the 2nd. November. It will affect all transportation, being in shared taxi, short-haul, intercity, long distance, cargo, name it, all the transport sector. It will affect.
This is your election headquarters. Now, presidential candidate of the opposition National Democratic Congress, John Mahama, has posed five questions asking the presidential candidate of the governing New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, to answer them as he once demanded answers to 170 statements and claims from the then Vice President, Kwesi Emesa-Atta. Speaking during his tour of the Northern Region, he said that NPP flag bearer has shifted focus from his economic lectures to pursuing digitization initiatives. Maxwell Agbagwa has a wrap of the day, one of John Mahama's Northern Regional Tour.
On the first day of his tour of the Northern Region, the NDC presidential candidate visited the Saboba, Tatale and Zabzugu constituencies. Earlier, he visited the Chiriponi constituency in the Northeast region. In the Saboba constituency, John Mahama urged factions in the Boko conflict to embrace peace. He warned there are hidden forces escalating the conflict.
Unfortunately, any time the peace of Ghana will be disturbed, it is the MPP government that is in power. Recently, I've been hearing some things happening in Boko that appear to be threatening to disturb the peace there. I just appeal to the people of Boko area and all those who are stakeholders in what is happening there to exercise patience, exercise restraint.
The man you can trust to do this job.
He posed 5 questions. He says the NPP presidential candidate, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, must answer just as he demanded answers to some 170 statements and claims from his vice president, Park Wisi, Mr. Atta, some years ago.
And the same person is running away from economy. He used to give lectures every month about how to run an economy, how to fix the economy. He posed 170 questions to my vice president, Emi Sata. He should go and answer the 170 questions himself. Indeed, he shouldn't answer 170 questions. He should answer only 3 questions. 3. Why is the exchange rate 17 cedis to the dollar? Question 1. Exam, he should come and write. Ezu, why has Ghana's debt risen from 120 billion to 767 billion in 8 years? Question 2, he should come and answer. Question 3, why is inflation where it is? Why did it rise to 54% under your administration for 8 years? And then let me add 2 more. Question 4. Why did you borrow 42 billion cedis from the Bank of Ghana? From the economy to digitalization. He used to do big about economy. Today he can't mention economy. It's not in his vocabulary. Anytime he opens his mouth, digitalization. Come and talk about the economy. That's question 5. 5 questions. Tell him. You should come and answer them. Ezu. And then all he asks is, hey, I want a debate. I want a debate.
Meanwhile, the Mining Committee of the National Democratic Congress is alleging the infiltration of the community mining team by foreign nationals, defeating the purpose for establishment. Recent visits to these sites by the committee have revealed politicization of the scheme. Here is Donna Jimmy's report.
The small-scale and community mining scheme introduced by the present NPP administration aimed at sanitizing the small-scale mining sector. It was introduced in all the country's mining regions, with locals being direct beneficiaries. But some miners are alleging foreign nationals continue to play active roles under the scheme.
The Chinese are those in charge of the sites. They can sack us from the sites. If we kick them out of the small-scale mining, we'll be very grateful.
Because China community mining, no, me say China foreign benefit.
If the NDC is successful to win the upcoming election, there is a manifesto promise to replace the scheme with artisanal small-scale cooperatives solely to benefit local people. According to the 2024 NDC manifesto, the present scheme is highly partisan and defeats its intended purpose. The NDC mining committee members, who have been campaigning in some mining sites in the country, explained the party's position on the present scheme. Member of the team, Michael Kojopepra, explains.
And now the community mining is being politicized. So in the manifesto of NDC, we are saying that when small-scale miners help us to garner a lot of votes, when NDC comes into power, we would set aside the community mining and bring about a cooperative mining. In the sense that we will bring all the small-scale miners together, as we have been able to decentralize the acquisition of license, they would be able to acquire the needed license to mine.
The team has bemoaned the challenges of goldsmiths and jewelry producers in these communities. Mr. Samuel Hajo is a member of the committee.
Every gold that is even produced, we want to have it, the gold board will have it, then try and get the market for the small-scale miners.
The NDC have so far visited some mining communities in Asante, Central and Western regions. They are optimistic of the party's fortunes in the mining areas. For Joy News, Nana Yautima reporting.
Nana Yautima joins us with more details. Nana, so tell me, why is the NDC very much concerned about the mining areas?
So according to the National Democratic Congress, they believe that government has mismanaged the mining areas, and in these areas they have specific policies that intends to change the face of mining in this country, deal with illegal mining and try to save the environment. And these policies are what are being preached to the people in these areas. The mining issue borders on livelihoods, and NDC believes that it's about time that through their policies they restore the livelihoods of these people. So that is why they are actively
right. Sorry about the network. Manuel, okay. Now, the network is quite bad, and so we're going to move away from the NDC. Now, presidential candidate of the governing New Patriotic Party, Dr. Muhammadu Bawumia, has taken his campaign to major markets in the Greater Accra region, with meet and greet interactions with market women. Dr. Muhammadu Bawumia stated his market tour started from Tuesday, and inside Mampobi as well in Ablekuma South constituency, and it's expected to tour other notable markets including Makola and Kantamantu. Prince Kwame Kuduga is there and would also join us. Hi Prince, good afternoon. Prince, can you hear me? Tell me, what more can you report?
It's kind of government moving to advocacy. At the moment, starting the market, the market women who are visiting public community and even telling them what happened in the upcoming election.
Well, you've been speaking to some of the market women. What have they been telling you? All right, unfortunately, network is not favoring me today. But still, on elections, our Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, has emphasized that Parliament is a vital institution that should not be taken for granted, as it serves as the mirror of Ghana's democracy. Speaking at the commissioning of the Job 600 building, he indicated that Parliament embodies the principles of representation, accountability, and governance, reflecting the people's voice and holding the government accountable to the public. Ken Jesse joins us with more. Ken, I hope that my network is in good shape. Ken, if you can hear me, please report more on this. All again, unfortunately. But I'm sure that we'll bring you details of that in our subsequent bulletin. But also, government has formally engaged a council of eminent chiefs led by the Asantehene Otumfo Osaiyo II to mediate the conflict in Boku, where inter-ethnic tensions have claimed 16 lives in recent clashes. Now, Minister for Chieftaincy and Religious Affairs, Samuel Asamoah-Boateng, announced the move as part of the strategic response to deal with the conflict. Mamiesi Nyamiche-Thompson will bring us details, and I hope that the network is quite okay. Mamiesi, please tell me, the minister has been speaking about the rival chiefs. What has he been saying?
Yes, so MFA, the minister expressed concern about the situation, indicating that his outfit was also taken about by the rival chief's presence in Boku. He told us that he couldn't explain how he got into the town, but then the security agencies are working on the issue. He gives very little information about how the issue will be resolved or specifically what measures will be put in place to deal with the rival chiefs, but indicates that the security agencies are dealing with that, not directly from his outfit, MFA.
Okay, and has he given at least some details on the current security situation in Boko?
Yes, according to the minister, there's been no attacks or clashes since Sunday after the roadblock incident. Now, the curfew that has been put in place to ensure that there's some form of stability is also being effected. He's also hoping that it will not, the curfew, he says, will not be short-lived, or should I put it this way, will be short-lived so that residents can go about their normal lives. In fact, he makes a direct appeal to the youth of the area to restrain from provocative acts. Also, I'd like to add that the minister puts the official figure of lives lost at 16. And so now we know that the number of people that lost their lives are 16. Aside that, we already know that he's engaging the Asantehene Otumfo Osaiyo II to mediate between the feuding factions, especially the chiefs in these two areas, to come to the negotiation table and broker the peace in the community. Indeed, he's also not happy about some of the factions inflaming passions in the town. As he says, it escalates the conflict. And so he says he'll keep listening to all sides and speak to the relevant authorities in those areas to ensure that peace is restored in Boku. And what's also instructive is that he's telling all those involved not to play politics with the issue at hand. He doesn't also admit that they are political actors behind the conflict in Boku, MFA.
Thank you so much, Mamiesi. Thank you. Now, let's speak to Albert Sori from the Upper East region, and so that he'll give us some updates. Albert, what's the current situation?
Yes, so today, we are learning from the residents that there's still high tension in the town, mainly because occasionally they hear some gunshots ringing in the air. It's not as intense as it was the past few days, but you get the sense that people are still not sure that this whole violence is over yet. So many of them are staying indoors. Some have tried to come out quickly, get what they need to get, and then go back indoors. So what I can say is that security presence is still in the town. Very high security presence, and that is also helping keep things under control. But the residents themselves still do not feel safe, and a lot of them are keeping indoors for their own safety.
All right. Thank you so much, Albert. Thank you. We go for a quick break. We'll be back shortly.
Abraham Oje Chesson, what from Tuna Mani? Mani from the end of the year, one of my hands are in the autumn. If a person doesn't listen to this campus, so you be. Makatima to me, Chesson, you be. Teaching them would be a sana. even crap pad and an eight pound per day in your beauty. Money and so, and the same penny. And see, no one just seen an imaginary ready to me. Yeah, maybe I could say, man, I don't make any day. And see, you are from Tinuma Okada, I could find it free as a chest in the back. I'm going to ride the middle of the city. I'm going to my death, my best sister, my mom, but she was school. To my bad. Now, sometimes if I was to say, I was school, but I am a dick. Maybe sometimes I was to the mom, I'm going to ride it. I feel so maybe I was to me, I should be school. You're just school for simple. My garage, she got na be an addy, put your head today, even if you had a school. Now, I can be able to school for sake. I'm going to be a mechanical father, one bar, the Obey President, and I don't hear free success, no, that I didn't. No, 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 no,
Protect free SHS. Vote Dr. Bawumia, number one on the ballot.
Every day, people have money emergencies. I need my school fees emergency. My chop money emergency. Emergency, emergency.
Crash it. I'm your rent.
Emergency. Now, there's a new emergency number in town.
More money, talent, and enjoyment. At the top life we got.
Dial star 770 hash for all your money emergencies from Chop Life.
Dial star 770 hash for money emergencies and get easy and quick access to your money, loans, and other banking needs. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
Over 5 million children have benefited from free SHS. Protect free SHS. Vote Dr. Bawumia, number one on the ballot.
Welcome back. Let's do some education-related stories. Now, stakeholders are worried about time given for parents to get their awards ready for senior high school education. Results of this year's basic education certificate exams were released about 2 weeks ago, and placements for schools was also done on Monday. But prospective students are expected to be in school from Wednesday. Kwesi Kwati speaks for the Education Ministry and joins us in the studio. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mefa.
Why are we in a hurry?
I'm not sure it's a matter of we being in a hurry. First of all, I think we've already communicated to the public and we've set a foundation. And the foundation has to do with the fact that we have to reverse the academic calendar to the old normal that we used to have. And so there has been efforts by Ghana Education Service to be able to streamline the academic calendar. If you recall, initially we were writing WASI in May, June. But just this year we wrote it around August, September, which is quite unusual. Even beyond that, students who have to take up admission to the universities usually has been September. But we are having students taking up admission to the universities around January and even some of them December. So post-COVID, we have been making pragmatic efforts, of course, gradually, to be able to make sure that we reverse the calendar back to the old normal that we used to have. So I understand, I mean, that there will be some level of inconvenience. But if you look at the statement that we issued yesterday, we also gave a period of a week where students will go through the registration process, also orient themselves within their schools. And of course, I mean, let me make an emphasis that the fact that you are even unable to be in school tomorrow or go through the whole process of orientation, which takes about a week, that's not necessarily mean that you are going to lose your placement slot. You still have the opportunity to still be in school far as you are placed.
How long is it?
Yeah, academic session is supposed to start on the 7th of November. So, I mean, that's about a week of students having the opportunity to go through the registration process. So it is not as though students are going to begin the academic activities on the 30th of this month, which happens to be tomorrow. But then from the 7th, we believe that by then they would have acclimatized themselves with their school, also have the opportunity to go through the registration process and then go through the full academic activities. So that is the arrangement.
But I know that it sounds quite pragmatic for you, the Ministry, GES, and you've heard complaints from parents. We're looking at it being pragmatic. but we're also looking at the feasibility and the readiness of parents. Is it to say that the directive is final and there's nothing going to be done about it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of considerations that went into this. If you recall, from last year, we have introduced what you call the harmonized prospectus. So what the harmonized prospectus seeks to do is to seek to cut off the number of days where parents and students used to prepare before they even get to school. Because, I mean, ordinarily, previously, parents have to, for instance, if your ward was placed in a school in, let's say, Boko or even Asante Regine, there are a lot of parents who may have to travel to the school, sometimes even sleep over, get their prospectus, and come back home and prepare. But this time around, the prospectus was even, I mean, given to the public or brought to the public domain even before the placement results came in. And we are also having a more harmonized and comprehensive prospectus with fewer items as compared to before. So we believe that even the time for the preparation where parents will have to travel to different towns, different schools and get their prospectus, which takes about a week or sometimes even more than a week, we believe that because of the introduction of the harmonized prospectus, those number of days are going to be cut off. So I don't see much inconvenience, particularly with the introduction of the harmonized prospectus, and especially to the point where we are not necessarily saying that you have to be in school on 30th by all means at all costs, but we've given you also a week ultimatum to be able to make sure that you prepare, you go through registration process before academic activities fully resume.
Does this arrangement affect the continuing students? How does it in any way affect them?
Yeah, I mean, with regards to the continuing students, if you look at the GES academic calendar that has already been in place, particularly those in first year who are now going to first year, they just vacated, or I don't want to even use the word vacated.
Well, we're told it's just a day interval.
It was 2 days. So originally, they were supposed to vacate on the 5th of December. So the arrangement that we did was, of course, I mean, it will be inconsistent to have two first year batches within the same particular year in school at the same time. So what we did was to just break these guys, those in Form 1, and then promote them to Form 2. Of course, it is also important to understand that at the end of the day, in terms of the 1 month that they were supposed to spend in school, we're also giving that instructional hours. When we talk about instructional hours, we are referring to the contact hours that the student will have with the teacher. So instead of just taking a month of that instructional hours, we've rather increased the instructional hours, which used to be 7 hours per day, to 8 hours. So we've made provisions to augment for that loss. And I don't know that they are not really going to have a loss. But you see, the foundation needs to be set clearly that it is not as though the Ghana Education Service or Ministry of Education is running to anywhere. What essentially we are seeking to correct is to we'll be able to align our calendar. Because as of now, it is only Ghana that do not write the WASI May-June. What essentially also means that the consequential effect is that we may have to pay more to WAEC to be able to organize examiners and print different sets of questions for us, which also comes at a cost to the state. Beyond that, university lecturers are also complaining that because of the time of admission, they may have to work all year round, which is not helping. So ultimately, a decision has to be made. It's the more reason why we engage parents association, we engage NAT, we engage all the teacher unions to be able to make sure that, yes, we take a decision that within the medium terms, it may not be necessarily convenient. And we also put some cushion measures, particularly with the introduction of the harmonized prospectus and the fact that we are also not necessarily that saying that go to school on the 30th and go and start academic activities, but also give a 1 week space for students to be able to work.
And so we anticipate that the original way our academic calendar would be reversed by next year?
It's gradual. So it will take effect. It will take about 2 years to be able to restore it fully. So Next year, we may not have students writing in May, June, but certainly they also not be writing, I guess, September in terms of the WASI. It will come a bit closer. But by 2026 academic year, we are extremely hopeful that if we go strictly by this calendar that we've proposed, everything is going to be reversed.
Let's talk about the performance, BEC.
Yeah.
Has the ministry agreed to the assertion that it seems to be one of the worst performing BECs that we've seen in this country?
I mean, such claims, because I speak for the ministry, I will not align to, it being coming from a speculative basis, especially when nobody has been able to point us to references and data to show that indeed, maybe the previous years, this was a trend analysis, and this year, this is a trend analysis.
What do you think?
Yesterday, I was at the placement center. I left there around 4 a.m. because we had to make sure that the placement results is released. And a lot of students performed. So, I don't want to say that the fact that your world did not necessarily perform does not necessarily mean that other students also didn't perform. But you see, I get the misgivings and some of these concerns, because this is the only time that students will also assess true critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because this time, the curriculum that we introduced about 3 years ago actually produced this number of students. So these are the students that were being tested for that curriculum. So critical thinking, because they really have not had that basis from primary one up to this level, I mean, in terms of our expectations, people may genuinely have a case, but except to say that on the face value, a lot of students also did well. I mean, for some of us, because we are unable to speculate, because we are speaking from a very official position, we may have to do a trend analysis, which as of now,
you we have
set, set data from WAEC.
Okay.
When WAEC do such trend analysis, maybe the ministry will also go through ours, and then we can speak to it. But I disagree respectfully and vehemently with the position that students did not do well. There are a lot. I mean, if
you
look at...
You are just saying that you have not seen any data.
Yeah,
yet.
But...
What if you revisit the data?
Yeah, but on the face value, if, for instance, we project results and we have more than 1,000 students getting 6 ones, I will not necessarily agree with the opinion that students did not perform, particularly when there is no reference to benchmark or compare.
Okay. Thank you for talking to us.
All right. Thank you, MFA. Thank you. I'm grateful.
All right, now let's do the National Science and Maths Quiz next. Now, in a competition dominated by intense rivalry and nail-biting moments, Gapeto Perpetual Safako has captured the spotlight, not just as the only girl standing in the National Science and Maths Quiz, but as a powerhouse for Keta Senior High Technical School, Keta School. She's not only aiming to make history as the first female finalist from her school, but also to help Keta School clinch the first ever NSMQ trophy. It's a tall order, but Perpetua is determined, drawing inspiration from NSMQ legend Francisca Lamini and pushing to leave her mark on this year's showdown. Jacqueline Ansumayabwa has more in the following report.
Yadi, another girl, Abba. This one, she's beyond Laminio. She's called Gakpeto.
The crowd can't help but cheer for Keta School's fierce contestant, Gakpeto Perpetual Safako, who has been a standout since the quarterfinals, where she helped eliminate two-time champions at Shimota School in a thrilling performance. Now, as the only female finalist, she's not just competing, she's breaking ground, and her resolve is inspiring. In a candid conversation, Perpetual shared that she draws strength from her mentors and also from Francisca Lamini, the first female to make it to the finale for Keta School.
Draw inspiration from her and keep myself going, draw inspiration from my teachers and keep pushing. But it's not pressure. You are being given the resources, the procedures to follow. Then you get it done. So that's just it.
Have you spoken to Francisca?
Yes, I have.
And she's giving you some tidbits and all that.
Just normal things.
With her focus and calm demeanor, Perpetual has turned what could be seen as pressure into pure determination, as she's built a strong bond with her male teammates, and together they're driven by one goal: making history.
When you stay with boys for so long, like when you stay with a group of people for so long, it becomes something like mutual induction. So you become a boy.
You feel like you are becoming like a boy now?
Not becoming like a boy. You just become one of them. So you blend in.
Yeah.
So it's not a gender something.
Sure.
You're just science student. Our journey has been life-changing. We want to be known for being the first people to bring their trophy to our school.
The grand finale fast approaching, Gakpeto is all set to prove that Keta School is not just a contender, but a school of champions. The only girl standing is ready to take her final bow, hoping it will be on the winner's podium. For Joy News, I'm Jacqueline Ansma Yobor.
The 2024 National Science and Maths Quiz is produced by Primetime Limited and sponsored by the Ghana Education Service in partnership with Goyle PLC and supported by Pepsodent, Jupay, Prudential Life Insurance Ghana, and Bittermalt. The broadcast of the 2024 National Science and Maths Quiz is on Joy News and supported by NASCO, Vitamil, Virtual Security Africa, AIDS Medical Insurance, Builds Financial Technologies, DBS Roofing Sheets, Intes, Tank, Family Health Medical College, Chopbox Technologies, and Action Secondary Technical, DPS Pies, Wakanao, and Coronation Insurance. Please stay for business.